Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, keep your head to the sky. Whew, word ever, so true. That opening bumper tune by none other than Earth, Wind, and Fire, for those of you who are music buffs. And that title tune is Keep Your Head to the Sky. One of my favorite bumper tunes, one of the little perks of having a radio program, you get to play your favorite tunes. And I always try to play something to open up the program that's kind of appropriate for the program. It's that opening tune, the lyric state. Master told me one day I'd find peace in every way, but in search for the clue, wrong things I was bound to do. Keep my head to the sky, for the clouds tell me why. As I grew with strength, Master kept me as I repent. And then it goes on, keep your head to the sky. Keep your head to the sky. Give me the will to be free. Purpose to live is reality. Whew, that's a good one, folks. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Keep your head to the sky. Check it out. Check the lyrics out. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and yes, again, you're at the right place at the right time where we bring you news and information that's just called from around the world. Well, most typically in the United States, but we do cross the borders from time to time. As we know, I guess it's been about 6 weeks. We had our friend Eula Pasternak, energy expert. And GMO expert, and she was in Poland, right? And so we woke her up in the wee hours, and we had a really good show, and that goes back about 4 weeks. So you can catch all of our programs in the archives at blogtalkradio.com/Renford, and then you'll just search for the Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly programs, and they're all there listed by date, guest, and topic. And I say that because you may want to just, if you know someone that doesn't catch or didn't catch this program, refer them to the archives, because they're going to want to go back and listen to this one, as I have a very special guest. And it just always does my heart warm when we have this guest on. But let me just say this first. We at Progressive News Weekly, we really, with our hearts, have intentions to bring you news and information truly that you can use. It's no talking heads here. It's news for you, by you, and of you. No political spin or business interest here. We just bring you straight, unadulterated information that hopefully will help you and your loved ones to live a more fulfilling life. And so this evening, I am so plump, pleasingly thrilled, as I was saying, to have a very special guest on that, he's with us from time to time. He's more than a guest. He's really a partner of Progressive News. And he certainly means so much to me personally as a friend and a mentor. And I notice whenever Master Glenn, as he's respectfully referred to, is on, I always get calls afterwards. When is he coming back? That was great. Well, he's here, folks. And as those of you who are my regular listeners know, hopefully he's going to be sharing some things with us about, I'll say a few of his specialties, because he has so many. Well, you all regular listeners again know he is, when I say doctor, he is actually a medical doctor, but he's also a master pranic healer, one of only a few in the world. So he has many specialties. As a doctor, he developed the neonatal intensive care unit at Good Samaritan Hospital in New York, and he was the director there for many years, at least a couple of decades. And he's only one of a few, as I said, master pranic healers in the world. And we may talk a little bit about that. But he's also a meditation and astrology specialist and expert as well, so he wears so many hats. But of all the hats he wears, I love the one that I subscribe to and seem to be drawn to the most, and that is he's just a humanitarian. He's a good Samaritan. So this evening, we're going to be talking about a few things, and he was with us the last time we had a blue moon. That would have been in late October. And we began to delve somewhat into the book, which I've been saying for many months we were going to be getting more into. The latest book, of course, is Spiritual Truths, Exploring, Discovering, Understanding the Deeper Meaning of Sacred Wisdom. And I enjoyed the book that preceded that, but this one I really embrace. So I had asked Dr. Mendoza if we could just spend a little bit more time with the book. By the way, the previous book, Better Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be, 9 Things to Think and Act. And I just think as we begin to close out the year, can you believe next week is Thanksgiving? This is apropos, you know, to start thinking about some of these things and reflections. And Master Glenn is so attuned to those things. So we're just going to have a plum pleasing good time this evening as Master Glenn just shares some good golden nuggets of knowledge and wisdom with us. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce Master Glenn. And if you have a pressing question, of course, we're live. And the dial-in number is 347-838-9142. And if you've dialed that number to listen in, just press 1 on the dial. And we'll try to address what your questions or thoughts are. So with that said, my prayers go out to all of those as we go through this pandemic continually, it seems. And I know that many people have, you know, gone through some things in terms of losses. Last month, in fact, although my aunt did not have any related issues with COVID, she made her transition. So, you know, people are coming and going. I have a new nephew, but, you know, people are leaving and making their transitions. So my prayers go out to all of you who have lost a loved one in that sense, although we don't really, I don't believe, ever really lose them. I just have that belief that they're always with us on a spiritual plane. Perhaps we'll talk with Dr. Master Glenn about that one as well. So I just want to send that out as we're going through this right now. And those who are struggling in any other way, my prayers go out to you for comfort and recovery quickly and completely. So if anyone has any pressing thoughts, let us know what's on your mind. But in the meantime, Dr. Mendoza is with us live. Dr. Mendoza, welcome to another edition to the network and to Progressive News Weekly.
Hi, Daryl. How are you? Thank you again for your invitation. Thank you. I appreciate this. It's almost close to six weeks before the end of the year again. And we realize another cycle, another what do you call this? Another chapter of our lives. I was just thinking, like, what will happen for those, say, if it goes on for a year or so, for the older people, will say, wow, we age already. But for the younger people, did we miss something? You know, each one will miss somehow. What happened there in that 9 months or 12 months or 14 months or 15 months, however it will be? Interesting, right?
Yeah, Yeah, it truly is. And you always just stimulate thought. It's so thought provoking. That's why I said, listeners, if you have some thoughts in the course of this dialogue, please weigh in on it. We'd love to hear it, because that's what this is all about, germinating good energy and good thoughts. And as Dr. Mendoza says, everything is energy, and energy is everything. But you really stimulated something in me just now when you said, what if this thing goes on, and what will those who are older, our elder, be thinking, and what will their experience be versus those who are young? And it's really something to think about. I was having a conversation with my wife about some of that, and thinking how, depending on where you are in your lifespan, how it affects you differently. I mean, those who are 5 and 6 years old, they're impacted significantly. All they know are, think about it, mask. I mean, they're just coming into age to really to see and, be required to wear mask, at 3, 4, 5. That's all they know. And then if you're, of course, in middle school or, high school, it impacts your graduations, and you can never go back and get it again. It is your senior year. And then, of course, if you're really elder, and I know because, what I do and most know in the health field and working with seniors, many are very afraid. I have some seniors in the complex that I work with who are literally afraid to leave. And I have to encourage them, go out and back and get some air. It's okay. You don't have to just completely isolate. So very, very interesting how the same atmosphere, environment impacts individuals differently depending on where they are. And I guess also their mindset, but, where they are in their stages of life, Master Glenn. What's your read? I always have to ask you, because we've been at this for, approaching a year now. What's your read now with the spike, and what's your message to us with regard to Corona?
COVID. I don't know. I was just telling somebody, remember when, we're both from close to New York, so New York is our love, although we're in New Jersey. But when Al Qaeda had a 9/11, September 11, the whole United States was against those people who hurt us. Now the whole world is against something that's invisible. Invisible, and we don't know what is happening. So it made us really rethink. Before, we have a country against, we have a group of people against, we have whatever faith or culture, whatever it is, we could identify whatever negative energies we would like to address for those who have caused us pain. But right now, the whole world is in pain. You're right. From not only the older people, the elderly people, or the middle age, even the young kids, the grandchildren are getting to learn also how to communicate now through smartphones, even as young as 1 or 2 years old. So that is, we just have to, what they call that, we have a rule we're in, just be with the flow. You cannot change it. So be the flow. Don't go with the flow. Be the flow. And the change, our rule number one in the rules that we having is that change is the bridge we must cross to create something new in our lives. So we are, all of us are facing a change. And the bridge is a metaphor for to cross one place to another place. And that another place is our future, our moving forward. So we create something new in our lives, all of us, from our family to our business to our work to our accomplishments, to our things that we need to do. My wife and I travel a lot. We miss travel. But I wrote something like, we miss travel, but we don't. It's not that we're escaping from the world or from our life, but we don't want the world or our life to escape us, something like that. That means time is
wow.
A wonderful, yeah. We travel, we'd love to travel. We've traveled throughout the whole world, and my plan for the next 2-3 years is to travel another 6 to 10 new countries we haven't done. We've traveled around close to, if I remember, around 92 countries already throughout the whole world. It was nice to see other culture. And we'd like to travel again, but all of us, life has changed, you know.
You know, speaking of change, that was a wonderful quote. Change is the bridge, you said? I want our listeners to catch that.
That was our rule number one. We have a book which we wrote as a response to the coronavirus, and we call it the rules that guide us. Finding stability in uncertain times. Coronavirus, we are in an uncertain times. It could be anything. We realize it could be anything. It could be a loss of a loved one. It could be a major physical health, physical surgery, or physical problem. It could be loss of a limb, or it could be a broken heart. It could be a loss of a job, loss of income. Anything, that those are uncertainties, and we made some rules because these rules are basically everybody will identify with these rules, and we will help to find in times of uncertainty like where we are now, we have to find our true north, you know, our true north, our moral compass, our something that directs us to where we feel good about. That's what our rule number one is: change is the bridge we must cross to create something new in our lives. And many of us have dreams and desires for our lives to be better. We were thinking we're going to have a better 2020 and different than they were in the present. We could see that the end result, but not always the process to get us there. So change is that process. Our lives have changed because our lives will have morphed, because this process of change, this bridge of which pandemic caused, will change our lives, will change human lives. Look, the Al-Qaeda changed our behavior. I'm sorry, I have to mention that, because it really changed our behavior in the airport. Yes? Before, I was bringing my kids. I'll bring my kids. My wife is going to California. I'll bring my kids inside the plane, put them in a buckle seat, and say goodbye and kiss them. I can't do that now. I have to. Yes or no? Remember the time?
True.
It was easy. So because of that, our whole world, the TSA has changed, and the coronavirus has changed it also. And we just have to flow, or else we're just going to be an unhappy camper. So our rule number three is to embrace the unexpected. Just embrace the unexpected. That's all we have to do. These are our response to the concept of change, the concept, the rules we have to follow, rules we follow with change. And I remember we discussed this, you know, then with all of this, we pause. There is a pause. We pause and reevaluate what's happening right now. I really like our book. Actually, I'm writing this. With somebody who helped me during the 100 days, the past 8 months. So we move, we go to a pause, and one of the quotes, I guess, from a great teacher says, move, but don't move the way fear makes you move. We should move, but don't move the way the pandemic the coronavirus makes you move. We have to evaluate what's happening. And we have to, once we do that, we have some actionable stuff, like which we told the group, it's called inner reflection and firm resolution. That means we review our life. I'll ask your audience, let's review and have an inner reflection. They said at the end of our days, not the end of our days, in the end, the last hour, before we leave our body, they said we review our life, and we are not going to, we'll be our own judge. We did this, we didn't do this. We should have done this. This is what we did, or something like that. We just review our life. It's like we review our life, and our life will pass through us very quickly, like so fast. And you know, we'll be our own judge. Oh, sorry, I hurt this person. You know, that kind of thing. The inner reflection, that the teaching of inner reflection and firm resolution is actually reviewing our life every day. So, say, for example, I'll ask your audience, your listeners, to do an inner reflection. What did we do today? For me, I look at my mistakes. But some people, they're too hard on themselves. Our teacher, Grandmaster Choa Koksui, said, look at the positive first. If you're somebody who's too hard on yourself, look at the positive things. Look at the mistakes. And firm resolution is erasing this pattern. Say, I cursed the taxi driver. I cursed somebody who cut me. I'm sorry. I realized he felt so bad. Or I shouted at my kids. I shouted at my nurse or a friend. I banged the table, something like that. I erased. What happened with inner reflection, we will get to see the pattern of behavior in our life. I realized I cursed the taxi driver. I cursed the deli guy. Then I realized I'm cursing. After 1 week, you realize your pattern of behavior is that, hey, Dr. Mendoza, you've been cursing a lot. So that's when you see the pattern, then you can change the pattern. So I'm just
suggesting, it all starts with awareness. That's the inner reflection.
We look at what, say, for example, I invite your listeners. You said, okay, let's look at our day. Everybody, look at your day. What are the good things that happened today? I was able to do this, complete this. I was able to make my phone calls. I was able to go to work happy. Then what are the mistakes that we have? Maybe I hurt somebody by my words. I hang up on somebody. I showed a smirk or a sulk on my face, and I did not appreciate her or his actions. Then I erased that. We sort of erased, because we created those. I created the pus in my face. Now I realize it affected other people. Since I created it, since I created the thought, the energy, I have the ability to disintegrate it also. So I erase it. Make sense? Then later on, mm-hmm. You realize you have a pattern. How come, a good example, how come, and this is, I don't mean this to be picky, but sometimes the closest, say our husband, our wife, our loved ones, we always criticize them. Then you realize after some time, oh my gosh, I'm criticizing my husband, my wife all the time. I'm making fun of her. Then you realize you have that pattern of behavior. So you start erasing that. You erase the pattern of behavior. Our goal, what's the goal? To become a better person. Once you
How
become
do you
a
erase
better
it,
person,
Master Glenn?
Actually, it's energy. We have a way of erase. Okay, I'll tell you the distinct technique. In between our eyebrows is our direction. Remember, when we think, We eat between our eyebrows. This is that's why when we look at somebody with intensity, we have a wrinkle there in the middle of our eyebrows. So putting a three finger, the left finger, I'll ask everybody, first, second, and third finger. So you have a three finger technique. When you put it in between your eyebrows, it gives you a little power, a little direction. Once you have a little direction, once you know what's right, then you could start erasing it with your right hand, like an eraser, energetic eraser. Oh, I cursed at this. Remember, let's go back. I cursed at this deli guy because he was not behaving. I don't think that's not fair. He might have a bad day. So I erase it. I'm sorry. I could do my correction also. I say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry energetically. I'm sorry. Then you do a firm resolution. I substitute the right thought, the right word, and the right action of my mistakes. I realized, I said, I should not curse him. I'm sorry. I ask forgiveness. Next time, I'll be more aware, like what you said. So we are putting our three finger of the left hand into between our eyebrows and erasing it with intention with our right hand, like an energy eraser. Then substitute the right thing. What is the right thing? Whatever you think is the right thing. So each one its own. The right thing is I apologize. The right thing is that, okay, I leave it alone. The right thing is whatever is right for you at that time. It could change. The right thing right now could change as we changed, because truth is dynamic. If I say the guy is really a bad guy, so why am I going to apologize? He said, it's okay. I won't apologize, but I'll be aware that I cursed him, something like that. I hope.
Yeah.
So we look at that. Everybody, it's an exercise. Look at the day. Look at the day. Sometimes I do it at night before I sleep, so I don't bring in my upset into my dream world, something like that. So look at your day. Look at when you woke up this morning. You're chirpy and all that. You're happy. Look at the day. Just review the day, the time you drove to your office, or if you're at work, or you're virtual. How was it? What are the mistakes you've done? Let's go straight. What are the mistakes you have done? Have we hurt anybody by our actions, our speech, our words, our feelings, our thoughts? Then when it comes to your consciousness, it will come to our consciousness, because it makes us, your word, Daryl, was awareness. So we become aware that we are hurt, we have hurt somebody, and we erase that. I'm sorry, as I erase it, I substitute, I'm sorry, from now on, what is the saying? It's better to have a listening heart than intelligent words. I realized I was preaching on this person with intelligent words, but I realized the right thing to do is have a listening heart than intelligent words. That's all.
You know, I love that. Better to have a listening heart than intelligent words. It reminds me of an anecdote about hate and disappointment and the counter of that with which is love. So how do you counter that? So I love that phrase.
Because sometimes I pontificate, because I think I'm smart, I'm teaching this. I said, well, the best thing is just listen. Some people will say, you don't have to lecture me. I just want you to listen. I'm very upset right now.
Better than intelligent words. It's better to espouse love than being right.
We do it. I do it with my wife.
you know, sometimes I realize I'm preaching. I said, you know, I said, hey, so that I'm learning also. Put it that way. That's my lesson for today. I have to have my lesson. And I wrote somebody. I said, I'll try. But I'll really, really, really try to have a listening heart than having an intelligent words. He said, okay, say thank you. I'd rather have the listening heart. It's not listening ears, but listening heart, because you're compassionate, you are loving without any judgment.
You know, I was reading something that being right really has nothing to do with it. The thing that we call right, someone feels is wrong. What we say perfect, somebody may say is imperfect. And so we all have positions. So at the end of the day, you know, what solves all that? Somebody may say something is you know, unassailable, and others, that's the very thing they assail too. So it comes back to, you know, what is the resolution? It's not to attack that which is the counter or be defensive. It comes down to simple love. And that way it doesn't matter who's right or wrong if you just embody that. But one thing that you said that I wanted to address with that said, that because I'm that sensitive Cancerian, and thinking how others might be thinking. So I love the finger technique on the eyebrows. If you just tuned in, folks, you're going to have to go to the archives. We said this evening we wanted to try to, you know, utilize and appreciate some tools that Master Glenn would share with us, to, you know, help us through this time of turmoil and challenge that we perceive that we're going through. And I say that with sincerity, that we perceive. That's another offshoot that I won't go into right now. I'm thinking, as you talked about inner reflection and firm resolution, and then gave us that tool with the finger techniques on the eyebrow, and then to say or reflect, you know, what mistakes, you know, have been made, and list them. You know, you don't have to list every one, but list the ones that stand out or come to you most quickly, and then you came up with the solution of, okay, erase them, and you showed us how to erase those things that we did that maybe wasn't so good, and the other side of it, what things went well, but staying with the side of resolving situations and how to better cope with the things that we're dealing with here. So we found out we can erase. Now, what if, and many of us maybe, probably are, possibly are, not dealing just with having imposed something on someone that was uncomfortable, but someone imposed upon them or us that was uncomfortable as we reflect on the day? Is that erase process the same way?
Oh, when somebody
am I making sense? Yes.
Okay. Our inner reflection is our awareness. We cannot change a person. If a person shouts at me and I feel bad, what can I do? You know, I could just react. I said, I'll look at myself. Did I curse him? Maybe I was showing him I was annoyed with him or her. That's why I raised my voice. Then I realized I'm only responsible for what we have. Let me move it a little bit more further. A great teacher said, and I'll ask your listeners about this, how many of you, when you say something, by my words, you said, I just want to let you know that Darryl Clark, this, as soon as I said it, I know I have hurt you. After I said it, after the fact, I just want to let you know, this guy is a pain in the neck. Then I said, I think that's not the good thing that I've done. You understand? How many of us are aware that we have hurt somebody after the fact? Some people don't. They don't care. They're called egosyntonic. That means, you know, it's like a good example. We're supposed to meet at, say, at 8 o'clock in the evenings for a date. Then we waited for our friends until 9 o'clock. And when he or she came, as if nothing happened, but we've been waiting for an hour. So they don't really care if we're hurt or not, or we're waiting. Some people, if they hurt or not, they don't care. But for us, look at this way. It's like shouting at our kids or raising our voice. As soon as we raise our voice, we realize we made a mistake. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So we correct it. We correct it. Said, okay, I'm sorry. This is what I'm telling you about the deli guy, the taxi driver, the one who cuts our street, our car. The second one is how many of us are aware that we are hurting somebody in the middle of the action. It's like what I said. I can't believe Daryl Clark. As soon as I do that, I'm hurting. This is not a good thing. So I erase it at that time. I'm cursing the deli guy. He said he's so slow. Oh, no, maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he has sick or something like that. Then I erase it. Do you understand? Does it make sense? So what happened in the middle of getting angry, I said, come on, Glenn Mendoza, get yourself together. This guy might have a bad day. There must be a death in the family or emergency. And when I recognize that, okay, I erase that. They said, once we become aware of the fact that we could erase something while in the midst of it, that's where the biggest transformation will come. So that's another step that we can do. First, we recognize, review the day. As we become very good at it, then we could actually be aware that we are hurting somebody in the midst of what we're doing. Example, say I'm writing a letter, I'm writing an email, I'm angry. They said, hey, wait, hold on. There's so much anger in your email. Okay, I won't send it. I'll watch it tomorrow. And when I read it again tomorrow, I could change it. That means I became aware that I am sending a spew of fire and brimstone, which is not necessary today. Something like that. I hope that your listeners got that also. You understand? The learning process is makes us becoming more aware. Look at what's happening in our country right now. I can't blame them because a lot of them are politicians. They have a way of saying it. Maybe it's just the way they speak. But somehow a lot of them are hurting, you know, denigrating other people. And I think that's not the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So yes and no. So we realize that promoting divisiveness. So we realized, I said, hey, I'm just responsible for what I think. I'm not responsible for what they think.
So back to the question, original, as you assess or reflect or become aware of the things that you've imposed on others, you bring to the fore the things that, looking back on your day, didn't go well, not because of what you did to someone, but because of what someone may have done for you. And again, how are we coping with that? Similar erase technique, three-finger technique?
How I react. Say, for example, let's say like, my wife got upset at me or raised her voice. How did I react? She said, "Oh, you didn't clean the bed. You didn't clean your your utensils or something like that, your plate. Then I reacted. This does not happen, but I'm just giving an example. Then I reacted instead of, then I raised my voice and said, hey, listen, she had a bad day. She never did this one. Okay, let it pass. You know, move on. Yeah, I look at myself, how I react. I said, okay, Dr. Mendoza, suck it up. This is not a battle you should fight. Both of you are stressed out. Your coworker, your boss are stressed out, and just let it pass. So as we do it more and more, we react to it quickly. Really, we could spring. I said, okay, this is not a battle. You know, why am I going to? This is not a battle. I'm going to fight. I'll pick my battles. This is not it. I'm not going to waste my energy. I'm not going to waste my sweat and any effort or thinking effort or emotions. You understand? If somebody shouts at me or berated me, hey, you're too slow, you know, that kind of thing. A good example is when we were younger, when somebody cuts us, we curse them. Yes, we curse them. I said, hey, now I'm more aware of it. I just make a joke. Hey, go back to New Jersey. I'm sorry. I'm from New Jersey. So whether I am in Florida or California, if somebody cuts me, say, hey, go back to New Jersey. It's my joking way to limit the argument, so I won't be upset. I'll just make fun of it or something like that. What are you waiting for, a pink car? So I could laugh, so I'm not affected emotionally. That kind of thing. Sorry, New Jersey. I'm from New Jersey, so I could make a joke in New Jersey. So if somebody cuts me, I will even kiss them. Okay, go back to New Jersey or something like that. So before we get upset, you know, then I realized that he may be like me. I'm in an emergency. Like somebody cut me one time. I said, what is this? Then I realized he was rushing. I said, maybe it's a cop. Maybe it's a doctor. Maybe it's a family emergency. I'll let it pass. Usually we have our opinion that this is a crazy driver. He will hurt us and all that. I said, to each his own, nothing happened. Move on. That's all. I hope that's a good example, because those are actual examples I have.
It's really how we react that we need to be aware of, regardless of the intent. Because as you're saying, sometimes it's just unintentional. A person had a bad day. You go to this supermarket or something, and the clerk, you know, throws your change on the counter or something, and you're like, wait a minute. But then sometimes it's just intentional, because I believe there are mean people. I just want to hurt people. I just believe that. I've experienced, you know, enough, and I think most have, but I can't speak for anyone else. But when you run into that, I guess it comes back to how do you react again? Someone's intending to try to ruin your day.
If we lose, for those of you who have younger kids, and we had younger kids once, if we lose it, who's at fault? We're the adults. We're supposed to be in charge, but we lost it. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So that means, in the same vein, he said, who's smarter? I'm going down to his level and argue with him, or I go up like an adult. He said, okay, he's just young. He's just upset. He's just had a bad day. Let him out. You understand? It's like, remember, the mothers and fathers among us, when we have our babies, our babies came out, we didn't complain to the baby, hey, I haven't slept for 8 hours, I'm not going to feed you tonight. You know, who's above, who can see the whole thing, us adults or the babies? Same thing with if you see an immature person, hey, just go above it. He said, I'm not going to go down to your level. Move on. Does it make sense? And maybe we could do that if we could just, there's some people who are divisive, like what you said, there's some people who voice their inequality or racism. I said, oh, that's your level. I'm not going to go down to your level.
Again, back to how we respond, which we
yes.
have the ability to make a decision about.
Yes, yes. You said something about right.
Yeah.
What is right? What is right? I said what you think is right at that time. Because they said the real word right, I think the English word that they were saying also, like, I call it the right viewpoint. I think the Buddhists call it the right insight, the right understanding. That means we have accurate perception of what's going on. So right means one great teacher said, there is only one right and everything is wrong. What does that mean? He said, an example, he said, there is only one health. Right is health or good health. And everything else is a disease. You understand? So a disease is the disease of the lungs, heart problem, the stomach problems, brains, whatever, appendicitis. Those are diseases. But there is only one health. There is not a lot of health. There's only one health. Make sense? The rest are disease. So when we say right, there's only one. And ultimately, the right thing is the one that connects you to the, when it's like what you said, given in love, given guided by the divine, not guided by selfishness, by hurting, or by other programs, negative programs. Sorry, it's a little complicated.
No, nothing but sense there. I'd like to, as we talk about the mind, get into some of the book.
Yes.
So I'd like to segue there. The book, The Spiritual Truths, which, you know, I just love. Now, the last time we were talking, we got into a fulfilling conversation about the soul and the soul realization.
Yes.
And what is the soul versus a spirit. And I think a lot of our listeners resonated with that. And we talked about, in your book, you call it soul realization. The chapter that follows that, you talk about spiritual bliss.
Yeah.
And so that, you know, to me ties back to that difference is of the, you know, the soul versus the spirit. And if I could find something out of here. You mentioned in your Gurumi, if only you knew what bliss I find in being nothing. Wow. And then he also says, God, take my soul to that place where I may speak without words. For some that, you know, have the book and have been purchasing the book, that could be somewhat confusing. So on spiritual bliss, talk with us about that.
Let's talk first about the soul, because once we have a soul, we could understand what spiritual bliss is. So the soul means that we are, in simplistic terms, we are light beings. That means for each one of us, there is a soul or a light within us. A nice example, I think I must mention this, one of the examples people have was this old movie, it's called Cocoon, where there were aliens or something like that, and they were looked like humans, like us. Then the humans, at night, they watched them in the pool, and it's like us, we're unzipping our shell, and inside the shell is a light. That is equivalent to our soul we are soul, or we are light beings with a physical body, not a physical body with a soul. So what happened was that being a light, being the soul, means connecting us with the divine. The Saint Paul said that, Saint Paul, according to his letter to the Corinthians, he said, we are made of body, soul, and spirit. And I mentioned to you, somehow, even for me, and I bet you, most of your listeners, we interchange soul and spirit. So we know what our body is, but what is the soul? What is the spirit? When you go back in the Bible said, God said, I will make man in my image. He didn't mean that they're going to have two eyes, one nose, two ears, one mouth. No, I'll make them in my image. That image is actually a spark that came from God, or a spirit spark that came from God. So all of us have that divine spark, or the spirit of God within us. We want to look for, if we want to go to have the energy of God. So each one of us had that, what we call a spirit or a spark. Then from that spark or spirit comes our soul. This soul, these are all immortals. When I say immortal, invisible, they cannot be destroyed, lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. Unfortunately, I'm Christian, I'm Catholic. It took me a while to realize, because the Catholic Church does not recognize lifetime after lifetime. So I started looking at reincarnation, and it made sense to me. Then all of a sudden, I accepted that. So I realized, okay, for now, even according to St. Paul, we are a spirit, the divine spark of God within us. We are a soul, and we are a body. As you go up, it becomes more subtle. So our body is physical, the soul is energy or light, and the divine spark is even more subtle. So going back to what you say about bliss, spiritual bliss, I did not know what bliss is. I thought it's just happy. Then as one starts to meditate and do spiritual practice, you realize was that you could differentiate pleasure, which is short-lived, and there's another level, which is happiness. You're just happy. You're just happy. You feel good. Then there is a more subtle description, which they call joy. And there's a higher level, which we call bliss. I did not know there are all happiness, until one goes into meditation, and some people will feel bliss. That bliss is a quality of the energy of the soul. So the soul has this blissful quality. That's why you could see the saints, when they look at the Lord Jesus or look at the cross, looks like they're on drugs. But the way they love, the way they're feeling inside, is what we call, I was calling it a certain kind of a quality of a soul with higher level of joy, or what I call ineffable joy. That means a just exquisite joy. I hope that answers your question. It has to be experienced.
So the soul is that divine. The spirit
is divine also. Higher divine. Yes.
You say the spirit is a divine, but a higher divine. But you referred to it earlier as actually the spark.
Or a divine spark. So our goal right now is actually to find or feel the energy of our soul and realize that the soul and us are one. That's why you realize that you're the soul. So soul realization, now I realize me and the soul are one. The next level, if we go up, like the Lord Jesus, the Lord Buddha, and the great teachers, they go to the next level. Instead of soul realization, they will look to become God realized. That means that spark, they're going to realize that spark or spirit within them. And once they do that, they become God realized. So when the Lord Jesus said, I and my Father are one, what he was saying, my soul and my spirit are one. And everybody didn't like that. No prophet had ever said they are one with the Father or they one with God. But the Lord Jesus was the first prophet who said, I and my Father are one. And they didn't like that. So that means he is a God realized. That's why he said, my Father. I know this is, I realized I could explain it. So we have soul realization. Some people call it self-realization. Some people call it enlightenment. In Asia, they call it Satori. Hinduism, they call it Sunya. You know what Sunya means? Nothing. What Rumi was saying, bring me that to that nothingness or emptiness. So they're all pointing to the same thing, different language.
So just at a highest level, the spirit is higher level than the soul. And the soul is higher than the body.
Yeah, more subtle. The energy is more subtle. Yes, higher and more subtle. Yes. And the soul and the spirit are invisible. They said, according to great ageless wisdom, they immortal. They are, they cannot be burned. They cannot be wept. They live for a long time. What's an example of this? According to a great teacher in India, we change our clothes, but we're still the same. What color clothes, shirt do you wear? You wore yesterday, Daryl, or sweater?
Blue.
Today?
Green.
Okay, it's still Daryl, but you change your garment. The garment is our life. The soul is still Darrow. So it's like us changing. We have our cars now. I have a red car. Before it was blue, but yeah, I'm still the driver. I just changed my car. So that means the soul is still me. I just change my outer appearance.
When we pass, when we make that transition, die, as it's referred to, death, the spirit within us moves on. And the soul?
Actually, told them, when you meditate, our goal is to have soul realization, to have enlightenment. That means we are one with our soul. Yes or no? Mm-hmm. I told them, I promise you, when we die, you'll be one with your soul. That means the energy of our physical body, all the memories of our physical body will merge with the soul. Yoga means union with the higher soul while we're still alive. The goal of every religion is to be one with our soul while we're still alive, so we could do good things and experience God's energy in our life.
Is that because of the link of the soul and the spirit? I mean, you said
yes.
That you know, our goal is to be able to, I love it, soul realization. That's that link of the body and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that higher level, the greater of a realization that you have of the soul, does that grow you stronger to the divine, to the spirit, to the spark?
Yes. My simple explanation of this, when we pray, when we meditate, where we contemplate, we close our eyes and we want to feel the energy of God, that means our soul is also closing its eyes and meditating so they could feel the energy of the God. And our spirit also is closing their eyes and meditating and praying so they could feel God's energy. At least that's how I look at it, like alignment. When we meditate, when we do good things, we align ourselves with the divine. Remember what I said, when we do right things, we align ourselves with the divine. Right, the ultimate right. Because there is only one right.
Okay.
There could be that we could have truth is universal, and interpretation of the spiritual truths, the deeper truths and all that, but by and large we closer to the absolute truth, which is close to the divine. But I think we should start to go something that we could really have a handle on, wherein we start doing our inner reflection and firm resolution, and that will make us a better person on a journey to become a good person, becoming a better person.
So that inner reflection and soul and a firm resolution. Really,
those,
from what you've just said, helps us to attain that soul realization.
In 2 years, we will change dramatically because we will change our programs, our negative programs. You see, there are programs within us that we don't like, but these programs are within us. The way our religion makes those programs, our upbringing makes those programs, our peers, our government makes those programs for us. And we didn't have a choice, but we realized that it's like Rosa Parks. I said, this doesn't make sense. Mahatma Gandhi, I said, this doesn't make sense. Why are we killing each other? But what happened was that they realized it. Hey, this stops here. So most of the great people, they realized they became better. And at one point in time, they said, this is my belief and this is how it should be. Nelson Mandela, a great person. I think he was in prison for 27 years or more. 27 years in prison. And the guards, I read his life, and his guards loved him. They want to talk to him while he's in prison because he has so much wisdom. Imagine you are in prison for 27 years and you become a president of a country. Think about that. So this great people, if you do inner reflection, I was told, you will see a drastic change within you in a year or 2 years. Even in a couple of months, you will see it.
That's excellent. So with Thanksgiving coming up, and not to make it into a one-day thing, but a nice milestone to to begin inner reflection, firm resolution, being so grateful, God willing, that we're here at that time a week from today to talk about that. What kind of antidotes would you have for our listeners as we go in towards the end of the year, passing through Thanksgiving, with all that's going on this year, God?
What actually boils down to, what is it that we celebrate? I'm asking the question. Giving, so that means we're thanking God. we're thanking, wishing a gift that we have, and we're happy, we're blessed. So we may not be with our family, we may not be with our friends, but doesn't change our wishes of Thanksgiving. That we have a family we love, we have a friends we cherish, we have blessings that will come. You know, I think that's our gift, our message for everybody. Because if we say, hey, I'm going to be reckless and still have a party because we have it. We have a turkey every year. We're not going to change it, but that might be a little too reckless. So if we have complacent and we say, hey, we could be alone or just with our close family, we still celebrate it. We wish each other a feasting, laughing, and loving one another all throughout the United States. If we have that energy, and I'm just telling you, that's what we're going to do. It's going to be small. I wish we could have bigger, we could invite our friends. But my wish for all of your listeners and to you and your family is blessings of hope and thankful that we're alive. And we have family. And we have food to eat.
Dr. Mendoza, I would be remiss if I did not ask, because probably in the years past, there's been a few years where I've done a program, but often I'll do a replay. I may do a replay of this program because this is special. You gave us some real tools that we can use. We've talked about meditation in the past, and you've shared some things about pranic healing in the past. But this was really good in terms of what I would guess would be a theme, inner reflection and firm resolution, in order to help us as we navigate through these times that we are experiencing. And you mentioned even the book, The Rules That Guide Us in Uncertain Times. And so there are these rules, and then there are tools, and you gave us one of the tools. But I know folks are saying, is he going to say anything about what's happening with the next full moon and the energies thereof? So in the few minutes we have left, our next full moon is going to be the moon of Sagittarius, and that should be something that's you're very familiar with, right? Because
I think we're going to do a
celebrate
the maybe the Sagittarius full moon. I think it's going to be on
Monday.
Monday, you're right. I forgot that. You're right. I didn't realize that it's November 30th.
Mm-hmm.
So I forgot that. I know we're doing this, but I did. So it's November 30th. It's the full moon again for everybody. Sagittarius is a teacher. So appropriately, apropos to that, the Thanksgiving is coming. It's a teacher also. The pandemic is a teacher. Sagittarius is ruled by Jupiter, which is a great teacher, at least the energy-wise. So we're going to learn something about the Sagittarius is an explorer, a magnanimous leader, a adventurous. So imagine you're an adventurous person and you're locked down for 9 months, but you realize the adventures, the freedom is not only outside, but the freedom could be also within. So the full moon on November 30th, on the month of Sagittarius, could probably be, I think, preparation for us to look at the year as we move into 2021. Things I suggest for people to plan out what are the things that we need to do in the next 6 weeks, because it's another year, 2021. Things that we need to do, people we need to meet or connect, and plans that we have to accomplish for that time. That's how I would look at it. And as Sagittarius, are the Sagittarius is the archer. So our bullseye, our goal, let's be more specific with the goals that we need to do. So we could look at it before the end of the year.
I like that. So focus on, as a bullseye, future goals.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the attributes? Is it the Sagittarius is a teacher, leader, explorer?
Yes, the Sagittarius. Sagittarius is actually half man and half horse. So that means the nature of it's like a hybrid type of thing. So what happened was that, what are the qualities, what are the fundamental qualities of Sagittarius? Number one, as I said, they value independence. They want freedom all the time. And their strength, the strength is by and large, they want to learn. They're also a teacher. They want to learn deeper stuff. I am a Sagittarius. Unfortunately, I say I am master jack of all trades, master of none. I'm just telling you, I just know that for a fact. I wanted to, if you have a Sagittarius, talk to them about almost everything they could tell you something about. Talk to me about quantum entanglement. I could talk to you about quantum entanglement, but I'm not an expert. I'm just an expert on my specialty. I'm an expert in pranic healing, and I'm an expert in meditation. That's it. The rest, I'm just a jack of all trades. Other characteristic of Sagittarius, deep thinker. They're honest. One of my core values, I realize, is honesty. Talking about all the lies that we can hear throughout our politics, very difficult for Sagittarius to do that, because we want to be honest, honest in our thoughts, honest in our words, and honest in our actions. Adventurous, just adventurous. They just want to travel. Like me, I don't know if you know what wanderlust is. Wanderlust is the insatiable desire to travel, and that's a quality of the Sagittarius.
Hmm. Yeah, you embody those. That's for sure. I've been impressed with, as much as it's apparent that you're aware of, and I haven't known you that long. It's been going on 10 years, or at least 7.
Wow.
8.
Yeah,
I know. It's gone by fast. But I've noticed that as much as I look to you as a mentor, and I've learned so much, that you keen in when I bring up things that you may not be that familiar with. And I'm always so impressed. I'm like, whoa, he's interested in what I have to say. But there's nothing that you don't want to learn. And I've noticed that about Sagittarians, they keenly, or they, if there's something that's said and they don't know, you can almost hear this, hear their minds ticking and their ears perking. I don't mean to laugh, but it's just, I've noticed that. So yeah, you do embody that. Deep thinkers. So we can all embrace that type of energy during this time period, because it's a time period of that type of energy, correct?
Yes.
As you've always said,
yes,
over the years.
And we're going to have a meditation, a full moon meditation on November 30. I think I'm not sure what the exact time is, but we're going to do it on September 30th, and we could meditate with hundreds of people throughout the whole world and absorb the positive qualities. By the way, we're doing all our meditation. You started it also by saying that the coronavirus is still within us. That means it's still active, and we don't know till there, and we keep on blessing it. In our meditations, we try blessing it. That means we haven't learned our lessons yet. So what happened was that we keep on blessing it. So until hopefully we could move on with our new normal or new future that we may have.
So there's lessons to be learned, and that's why we're still coping with that.
Yes. That means we still have to really have to. That means we haven't learned our lesson yet. So maybe it's a collective effort that all of us. So in our meditation, say we, I sort of say we may have be only a couple of hundreds of people, but we represent our humanity, and we ask God to use us as a channel of love, because love heals. And love will be healing for the entire earth. We wish that for everybody.
And the website, we know it will be on Monday, and as soon as I get the information, I'll be forwarding it. But to get to the meditation, it is still fullmoonmeditation.us, I believe it is. Is it?
Yes. Yes, you are the ones who pushed me into making it, because when every time for your listeners, every time Daryl asked me, people were saying they go into the website, they don't know where to find. So we made a specific website, Care of Daryl Clark. It's fullmoonmeditation.us. And it's
on Wednesdays.
30. Yes.
On November 30th. And typically it's either 7, it's been 7:30. Or 8, but as I said to our listeners, when I find out, go ahead, Dr. Mendoza.
Yeah, we change it because of the daylight savings time, so it will be actually on what is it, on the 30th will be actually a Monday. It will be on Monday, November 30th, so it will be at 7 o'clock. Because in Brazil, it's already 9 o'clock, and a lot of people cannot stand too late. In some places it's around 10 o'clock, so it's just a little too late. So we move it down to 7 o'clock in the evening. So 7 o'clock p.m. on November 30, Monday. Go to fullmoonmeditation.us, and it will give you the link of how to join us, for hundreds of us, and I ask your listeners to join us so we could bless the entire earth. Our goal is to bless the earth because of this looming coronavirus affecting not only the United States but almost every country in the world.
fullmoonmeditation.us, folks, and I'll be sending out the links as we get closer to that date. Folks, we have been talking with Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Master Glenn, respectfully. referred to and acknowledged as one of the few master pranic healers. And perhaps the next time we'll get a little bit more into pranic healing. But I do want to continue with the book review. This is really excellent. And I think that review breeds familiarity, and that lowers apprehension. So, folks, we're going to continue to discuss the book and reviewing the book, Spiritual Truths, Explore, Discover, and Understand the Deeper Meaning of Sacred Wisdom. Available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com?
Yes, available at Amazon.com.
Amazon.com. Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn, happy birthday, in case we don't talk
Thank you again.
Which we may, coming up. Peace and blessings to you and the family. May your Thanksgiving be truly enjoyable and blessed. And the same to all of our listeners. Thank you. Appreciate you, Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. God bless. Well, folks, that concludes another edition of Progressive News Weekly. Hopefully you got something out of that. He gave us a little treat with the three-finger technique. If you didn't catch that in terms of how to resolve, well, too often unresolved issues, you'll want to go to the archives at blogtalkradio.com, and that's / Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D. And when you go there, you're going to see all of my programs going back several years, with the most recent being the one that you'll see first. And you'll just look for Dr. Glenn Mendoza, Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly. And I think you'll enjoy it. We may even do a replay next Thursday for that. So with that said, then do I close on the same thing that I open up on. But this evening, we have Thanksgiving coming up, and there's the inclination that I have to want to play the same bumper tune. I thought it was so interesting, if I can, just for a moment, that in that discussion that we had with Master Glenn, Dr. Mendoza, for those of you who came on late, we opened up with the bumper tune, Keep Your Head to the Sky. And we talked about, of course, the theme for my take, what Dr. Mendoza was talking about. He kept talking about inner reflection, firm resolution, being aware. There's so much going on, so much division that's happening right now, not just on the social justice end and on the political end. And that goes without saying. And we spend the last few programs spending a lot of time with that. So much division, different ideologies, different perspectives. But again, as strong as you may feel about your position, you have to understand that there's a counter position to that. And that's what I was referring to when I mentioned to Master Glenn, you know, about that whole aspect of from, you know, depending on your perspective, you may feel like something is perfect, and another person may feel that thing is just so imperfect. You may feel that something is right, and someone else is feeling that it's wrong. And, you know, we talked about the situation where someone may feel that something is just unassailable, just can't fathom it. The other person is thinking that's the only way to go. But it really comes down to where does that get us? You know, you have a different perspective. Attack is certainly not the way. So we must pray. what's happening in the streets with, for example, with, and I would say children, but from what I've seen, there are people just beating people down because they believe in what they believe in. And it's horrible. It's just a horrible thing. So we must really pray and meditate for peace in this political turmoil, in this social misjustice, injustice. If it weren't that, would it not be something else? Would it be religious differences? Would it be gender differences? Would it be not something else? But right now we have the politics that we're galvanizing around, right? And it's polarizing us, and families against families, and partners against business partners. But for what? For the sake of one power play against another power play? And what I saw this past weekend was nothing less than an atrocity. There was a mass, as you probably know, those of you who are in the know, peaceful protest in Washington, D.C. And those folks have every right. I just don't believe in that kind of violence. I saw, you know, a man with his daughter just because he wanted to raise a Trump flag. He got attacked. I mean, we've got our children at a fever pitch, and it's not about right or wrong. It's about love or not love, and that's not love. So we have to be very careful what we're subscribing to and to what degree. Very sad, very sad. In the name of what? A political party? We have to be careful, folks. I've been mentioning this. That pendulum swings both ways. I say it, and I will continue to say it as long as I have breath. Regardless of who's in power over the next 4 years or 50 years or 10 years, I will continue to say it swings both ways. And what may work for you or I, whether we're on the same ideology or not, may not work tomorrow or in 5 years. That same pendulum that's swinging in our favor may not swing in our favor. And we have to be very careful with that. And who's behind it all? Who is really behind it all? Do we really, really know what's got us at a fever pitch to have such hate and belief that someone is so wrong and so hateful? We have to step back and take a look. And where is love in all of this? And as I said, and I'll close on this, where you do have that apparent hate or divisiveness, what is it that has that energy to present that, that makes it want to present that? And that's the source. Remember, you don't want to look at the symptom. What's the root cause? So with that, folks, we conclude another edition as we go into Thanksgiving. And as Dr. Mendoza said, 6 weeks we'll be into a new year. It'll be a year before we know it that this COVID has been with us. In fact, by some standards, there are those that would say it's already been a year. And I've had this conversation with friends, colleagues, loved ones, relatives. Perhaps it's been here longer than it's been acknowledged. Because I know there was something that went through my household and neighborhood and the town a year ago in November, late November, early December. Folks were starting to have issues like never before. Flu symptoms like never before. this was something that perhaps has been on its way here for quite a while. But with that said, I just want to thank you. I'm so grateful for you. And I pray that you and yours will be well, and that you embody love, and that we'll take this lesson of inner reflection and firm resolution to help us just come together, and not from a religious perspective or a political perspective or a status quo perspective. Just from a simple, objective, human love perspective. Just that alone. If we can just meditate and pray on that and be grateful, I think it'll carry us a long way. So, yeah, let's reflect. Let's resolve. Let's be thankful. And so, yeah, keep love at hand. All right, and so look for us in, just think about it, December. If we're not airing next week, December is here, folks. December is here. So, God bless. Be safe. Be sound. And I say be sound, sound-minded. Yeah, be discerning. And, well, there's only one right. And there's lots of wrongs. Okay, then. I'm going to close out with a tune by Walter Hawkins. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Peace and blessings.
Tragedies are commonplace. All kinds of diseases people are slipping away. The economy's down. People can't get enough pay. But as for me, I said, as for me, drug habits. I'm not just talking about folks out in the street, but right in the church, drug habits of some folks hiding just can't be. There are murders and robbers. No place seems to be safe. Lord!